Welcome to Alan Dreyfus Frontier Market Coverage. This is your host, Will McBain. As Macky Sall destroyed his legacy, what does Senegal's recent troubles mean for investor relations as election day looms large? Today I'm joined by Sherif Bojang Jr., an award-winning Gambian and longtime Senegal-based journalist, who's the current assistant political editor of the Africa Report in London. Sherif, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Will.
Pleasure. Until February, most Africa observers would have thought Senegal the beacon of stability in a region once again blighted by coups. That was, of course, until President Macky Sall plunged the West African nation into a constitutional crisis when at the beginning of February he postponed the elections planned for February 25th, sparking protests across the country. Sherif, why did Macky Sall do that, and what has been the effect of that move on Senegal's political and economic dynamic in the weeks that followed?
I think across the world, everywhere in the world where Senegal has been hailed, Senegal's democratic and human rights and governance credentials have been hailed, these events came as a shock, surprise. Elections are linked to constitutions. They are not temporary dates that you can set and you can cancel. Senegal's election that was scheduled for February 25th was very much linked to their constitution. Changing that would, of course, as we're observing now, going to change a lot of things going forward in the future. President Sall linked what we know officially, what was said by him and from his camp, is the fact that he postponed the elections as a result of issues between some candidates, political parties and their candidates, and the institution that is responsible for presiding over the registration of candidates. In particular, and I was Karim Watt, the son of former President Abdoulaye Watt, and the Democratic Party, the PDS. But then what a lot of people are saying, analysts and experts in Senegal in particular, is that the issues that were raised by some of the candidates, for example, some will say they are genuine. There are candidates who will say they were ruled out of the contest just because the USB drives that contain the list of the people who signed for them for their candidacy was problematic, or the electoral, the institution couldn't open it. I mean, those are little issues. But then what experts said was that if there were issues, especially with regards to Karim Watt's nationality, dual nationality issue, being him being Senegalese and another candidate who was allowed to contest, also dual Senegalese French, what could have happened was that that issue could have particularly been looked at if the candidate who was also Senegalese French, like Karim Watt, and allowed to contest while Karim Watt was not allowed to contest, they could have looked into that issue, that matter, that particular candidate, and that could have been ruled out instead of postponing the whole election. But then it backfired because once again, we've seen Senegalese the determination of Senegalese people to fight for what they feel is not right, to fight for what they feel, is in contravention of their constitution and also curtail their civil rights, especially the right to vote. So once again, the whole issue put Senegal's election calendar into chaos. Unfortunately, it resulted to street protests, some violent, because we've seen the security, the police in particular, using force, excessive force against protesters that resulted to at least two deaths and injury of a lot of people, and of course, millions and millions of CFA francs of property that were also affected during that protest. So that's where we are with regards to the postponement of elections and the outcome, the result that ensued as a result of that postponement.
There's been a lot written and said about Senegal in recent weeks and condemnation on Macky Sall's alleged politicking. But should the dominant thread that weaves all the commentary together be focused on the strength of Senegal's institutions that has once again been tested and proven strong?
Yeah, that's right. Because across the media spectrum, we've read, we've seen, we've heard people, experts, journalists talking about Senegal's democracy is in danger, Senegal's democracy is at risk. Some are even saying that this is a damage to Senegal's democracy. But no, people are missing the point, I think. Democracy is always messy. Democracy is chaotic most of the time. And democracy cannot be democracy unless people's determination to stand up for what is right is tested. This is what happens in Senegal from time immemorial, since Senegal's, because oftentimes when you talk about Senegal's great democratic credentials, you talk about two things. First, there has not been coup d'etat in Senegal, unlike many other African countries. Second, the transfer, peaceful transfer of power from one president to the other, especially from incumbent to opposition. We've seen that with Abdoulaye Wade taking over from Abdou Diouf and Macky Sall taking over from Abdoulaye Wade. But why Senegalese democracy is hailed and is different and is special is the fact that oftentimes people are tested. The country is tested by a ruler, for example, a leader who wants to hang on to power, in the case of Abdoulaye Wade, and also the people's determination to fight and to make sure that their will and their voice is heard and their decision prevail. This is what happened. This is what is happening again. So I don't think the event that has been happening since Macky Sall postponed the election is going to hamper Senegal's democratic credentials or Senegal's reputation as a beacon of hope when it comes to democracy and good governance in Africa. Instead, it emboldened it once again and also strengthened Senegal's institution. Because tell me, where else would you have in Africa in particular, where the president, especially who has been in power for more than a decade, will come and say elections are postponed and people's pressure, citizen pressure, will force the president to change his mind, even though there is also the role of the Constitutional Council? And where else would you have, in Africa, where the president wants to do whatever he wants to do and the people will fight and the people's will win over. So whatever happens in Senegal, despite this, the protest, what is happening now is not new. This has always happened. And Senegal wins. Senegal fight for what Senegal has to fight. And at the end of the day, Senegal wins. The voice of the people always prevail. So I think altogether, once again, we've seen the strengthening of the proof that Senegal's democracy is intact, is even emboldened, and the institutions are strong to serve their purpose.
Senegal's institutions are strong, as you say. And why is that? Why are Senegal's institutions strong that they can overcome the politicking of a sitting president when other nations in the region have not had such similar experiences? Is it the case that Senegal has just had the time to develop and strengthen its institution, or is there something else?
So I think it's a lot of reasons, multiple reasons. One is Senegal. Anyone who knows Senegal, who live in Senegal, and who is aware of the dynamics in Senegal will tell you one thing about Senegalese people. They are patriotic. It doesn't matter where a Senegalese is. It can be in the US or Japan, or when it's time for the interests of Senegal, they are always at the forefront. Senegalese love their country and the affairs of their country. So patriotism is one thing. Everybody joining hands, all hands on deck to work for the interests of Senegal and, of course, the institutions of Senegal. Another issue will be linked to the independence and Senegal's history, the history of education, the history of people knowing what their rights are and standing for what their rights are, and everybody looking out for everybody. But I think above all is the determination of the people to make, because Senegalese have You know, you talk to Senegalese, most of the time what comes out, this is our country, this is the only country that we have. It doesn't matter whether they are successful elsewhere else in the world, they will always remind you multiple times that this is our Senegal, like they will say it in Wolof Sunyugal, our Senegal, this is what we have, and they always fight for it. So I think also the you've seen the shift from the older generation before, even up to around 2000, you know, to early 2000 towards 2007, when there was protest in Senegal or any political activity, the first line of the crowd will always be the older generation. These are the Abdoulaye Bachelis, the Mustapha Niasses, the Ahmad Damsokos, and all those people. They were always at the forefront. Now you don't see them anymore because the baton has been successfully passed on to the younger generation. And that explains why when there is protest, for example, in the street or any political rally or event, you have the young people at the forefront, risking their life, risking everything just to be heard and just to have a country that they think they deserve.
Where does Macky Sall go from here? In your view, has he trashed his legacy? Or is there anything he can do to fix this mess? And what do you think his next move will be?
Well, this is the issue, Macky Sall's legacy in this whole thing. Especially when he came out to say that he postponed the election. Well, a lot of things happened before that. But until he came out to announce that he's postponing the election, Macky Sall was always presented by himself and his inner circle and everybody else as a reformer. I mean, give the devil its juice. Under Macky Sall, Senegal went through some rapid development, especially in the areas of infrastructure and energy. As you will know, and a lot of listeners will know, I mean, he launched his ambitious plan, Senegal Emergent or Senegal Emerging Plan. Under that plan, you've seen major infrastructure ranging from extension of road networks, including the motorway linking Dakar to the new airport, the Blaise Diagne International Airport. There are new tracks and bridges all over Dakar and elsewhere in the country, creation of new city of Jamnyajo, which is like the envy of a lot of countries in the world that help in the congesting Dakar, the launch of the regional express train service, the TER, and the bus rapid transit service, the BRT. You also have the construction, which just started, the deep water port, which is underway in the port of Ndayan, in Senegal's Petite Côte. You also have a lot of things. For example, currently Senegal, the electrification rate of in Senegal is more than 70% nationwide and 85% in urban areas, and that is in comparison to 56.5% in 2012 when Macky Sall came over. And of course, interesting to say too, Senegal under Macky Sall has been moving towards green energy, especially since 2016. But apart from that, you also have hunger, unemployment, and curtailing of civil liberties, which together have been looming large. So Macky Sall's legacy as a reformer and the person who presided over Senegal's major infrastructure and drove Senegal to, you know, a status where it becomes the envy of the world, Africa in particular, in terms of economy, in terms of energy and infrastructure, I think that has been hampered by his action to postpone the election. But before that, the whole issue surrounding his candidacy, third term bid, whether he will contest or not. If President Watt knew that he was not going to contest, he could have said this, a lot of Senegalese would say, he could have made that known, at least let's say as far back as 2021. Because from 2021 to recently, to 2024, there were a lot of protests that were sparked by President Sall's silence on the question of whether he will contest third term or not. And unfortunately, it resulted to at least a dozen lives and the injury of a lot of people. People's lives and livelihood were lost. And people like, if you knew he knew he wouldn't contest, why couldn't he have avoided all that? So his legacy now, unfortunately, to a large extent, will not be based on the infrastructure that he presided over, but then the curtailing of civil liberties. Now he is known as Senegal's dictator. People criticize his dictatorial tendencies. So unfortunately, probably all the good things that he's done in Senegal in terms of energy and infrastructure in particular will be overshadowed by his latest move to cancel the election, to bring Senegal to chaos, to cause disruption to Senegal's electoral calendar, and also create confusion and political tension in the country.
Sheriff, with a GDP expected to grow by an average 8.5% between now and 2029, and with its population, oil windfall, and infrastructure growth, as you were speaking about, Senegal has the resources to become a continental powerhouse. But how much has the last 6 weeks dampened Senegal's growth ambitions and investor relations, if at all?
Well, that is a very good question. I think first, under President Sall, until the last 6 months of especially heightened political tension and the resulting protests and uncertainty in the country, until that time, we've seen influx of private investment. And that's thanks to strong political will and also the strength of the institutions in Senegal. But obviously, what has happened recently is the fact that potential investors, especially foreign investors who are interested in Senegal, in investing in Senegal, would of course be cautious, would halt whatever they want to do in Senegal just to sit around and see what is going to happen, because no investor want to invest in a country where uncertainty of where the peace and stability in particular are uncertain and they are hanging in the balance, where there is a roof of insecurity hanging over the head of everybody. So obviously, naturally, I think what happens is that the investors, especially the foreign investors who and potential investors who want to invest in the Gambia, in Senegal, would have just stayed back and just fold their hands for now and observe and see what is going to happen. Those who are already investing in the country, of course, they are worried. And then the last impression you want to give to your investor, whether it's foreign or local, national, is the feeling of uncertainty. Once they feel there is uncertainty and their investment might end in jeopardy as a result of instability of potential violence, then you create problem. I think that's what's been happening in Senegal.
We have little more than a week to go to the election. What can you anticipate taking place over the following days? And do you think we'll see any more major surprises?
Well, until Friday, Friday the 15th, I wasn't sure that the elections will hold on the 24th of March. Because of the lawsuit by the PDS, Karim Wad and his party, to have the election postponed again, while issues that arose from the registration, formal application for registration was addressed or were addressed. But now I think it is all clear, and it is I can say with certainty that there will be elections. First of all, will be held on the 24th. This is very unusual even for Senegal, because in a situation where candidates, you have a long list of candidates up to 19 for the first time, including people, very prominent ones, very popular ones, for the first time in Senegal, no pundit, no expert, no pollster can confidently tell you that this is the front runner. People can tell you it will be between so and so, two, three candidates, but nobody can tell you who the front runner is. And that shows how how confusing, how crowded and how chaotic the whole thing is. The candidates will have less than the number of days that constitutionally they would have had to campaign as a result of what happened, the postponement and the legal battles and the decision by the Constitutional Council. But I think what also has happened over the last 48 hours is the release from jail of opposition leader, prominent opposition leader Usman Sonko, and his candidate Basiru Jomai Fai. I think that has changed the whole game. And what I can say from my part and gut feeling, the race will be between Jomai Fai, Amadou Ba, of course, that's President Macky Sall's party's candidate representative. Khalifa Sall, the former two-time former mayor of Dakar, and of course Idrissa Seck, ex-prime minister, who also came second in the 2019 election with 21%. I think those four, it will have to be between them. What happens from there is everybody's guess.
So lots of twists and turns ahead.
Lots of that. And then, of course, I think it is fair to say that we are expecting a second round. It will be very difficult. I will personally be surprised to see that somebody comes first and somebody seal the deal in the first round, because you need the 50% mark to avoid runoff. So with the quality of candidates, with also the chaos and confusion, and some of the issues at stake, some of the issues that are going to trigger people's votes, I think some candidates are close in terms of their ideologies, in terms of their support base. So that might push the race to round two. And when it gets to round two, this is where the even more confusing issues are expected to happen, because then it will be in when Macky Sall defeated President Abdoulaye Wade, the first round, or I will take it back to even when Abdoulaye Wade defeated President Abdou Diouf, what happened is that the Senegalese opposition, they will agree to go their separate ways. But when it comes to second round, the one who goes with incumbent on the second round is the person that they all automatically rally behind. We've seen the same thing, history repeating itself. 2012, when Macky Sall defeated Abdoulaye Wade, first round, Wade came first, but then didn't have the mark, you know, for outright majority. So second round, all the opposition, all the other candidates automatically and easily rallied behind Macky Sall against Abdoulaye Wade. This time around, this is difficult. Because first of all, you see, let's say, the camp of Jomai Fai and Usman Sonko, and the animosity between that camp and the camp of Khalifa Sall. So you can expect that Khalifa Sall will, unless something happens during the campaign and from now against the election, will probably go, if it is the second round is between Jomai Fai and Macky Sall's candidate Amadou Ba, you can expect that Khalifa Sall's camp might go for a coalition or might rally behind Macky Sall's candidate and former Prime Minister Amadou Ba, instead of Basiru Jomai Fai. So that is going to change a lot. So we don't know. I think the race is open, too close. And when it goes for round two, it's confusing. We don't know what is going to happen, and anything is possible. It will be down to negotiations. It will be down to bargains, who gets what, but also it will be down to all wars and all conflict and all feuds between individuals and parties that are expected to loom large when it comes to negotiations for round two.
Sheriff, thanks as ever. Great to have you on.
You're welcome.
Join us next week, where we will be joined once again by Sheriff Bojang Jr., as he gives us his predictions for next week's Senegal's presidential elections.